Today we are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, titled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Texts 42 and 43. Kashayo madurastikaha,
kashayo madurastikaha,
kathamala gitinai katha,
kathami vaikitai dinai.
बहुतिकानां विकारेण रसा एको विभिद्यते कषायो मदरसिक्तः
कषायो मधुरस्तिक्तः कथयम्ला इति नैकधा
बहुतिकानां विकारेण
रसा एको विभाजते
कषायः
तिक्तः
बिटर Although originally one, taste becomes manifold as astringent, sweet, bitter, pungent, sour, and salty due to contact with other substances. That's not quite good for this verse. We can read the next verse, text 43. Maintaining life.
Apayana.
Refreshing.
Kundanam.
Softening.
Tapa.
Heat.
Apanodaha.
Driving away.
Bhuyastvam.
Being in abundance.
Ambasaha.
Of water.
The characteristic functions.
In fact.
Imaha.
This. Translation purport by Zuhangir. The characteristics of water are exhibited by its moistening other substances, coagulating various mixtures, causing satisfaction, maintaining life, softening things, driving away heat, incessantly supplying itself to reservoirs of water, and refreshing by slaking thirst. Starvation can be mitigated by drinking water. It is sometimes found that if a person who has taken a vow to fast takes a little water at intervals, the exhaustion of fasting is at once mitigated. In the Vedas, it is also stated, Apayo Mayaha Pranaha. Life depends on water. With water, anything can be moistened or dampened. Flour dough can be prepared with a mixture of water. Mud is made by mixing earth with water. As stated at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, water is a cementing ingredient of different material elements. If we build a house, water is actually the constituent in making the bricks. Fire, water and air are the exchanging elements for the entire material manifestation. But water is the most prominent. Also, excessive heat can be reduced simply by pouring water on the heated field.
Decision based on the taste
we receive. That's the significance of the different tastes: astringent, sweet, bitter, pungent, sour, salty. Those foods which are the mode of goodness, what do? They purify one's existence, they give strength, health and happiness. And what are the characteristics of such food? They are juicy, fatty, wholesome and pleasing to the heart. Similarly, Krishna goes on to explain the nature of foods that are in the mode of passion. There you see excessive spices. That's why the bitter taste, sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry and burning are dear to those in the mode of passion. So these varieties are given because we wanted to enjoy them. So the whole provision is given. So what is such foods cause? The cause and effect is also given. What is the effect of that? Such foods cause distress, misery and disease. And finally, food that is in the mode of ignorance. Food that is tasteless, decomposed and putrid. And food consisting of remnants and untouchable things. So that is dear to those in the mode of ignorance. So here we see why the varieties are created, what is the cause and what is the effect. In everything that Krishna has created, he has put his potency also. So that is how we can see him in the material creation as well. So we saw that. How do we see Krishna? He is actually the variety producing all those tastes. In his lecture to this particular verse, text 42, Srila Prabhupada explains how the same earth element is there, then water is there, then the seeds are put on the earth and different plants come out. One plant is producing a sweet mango, another plant is producing something bitter, another plant is producing something pungent, astringent. How is this happening? He goes on to explain how Krishna is the seed-giving father and he gives all those varieties. Prabhupada condemns how the scientists, they put Krishna out of the picture, and Prabhupada challenges, okay, you take earth, you take water and show me the variety without the presence of a creator. Try that. So he brings out a point, the same ingredients are there and varieties are coming out. How can you say that there cannot be a person who is behind this creation, who has created this variety? So the material creation understanding helps us and increases our conviction in the presence of the hand of God. And this can very nicely be explained to others as well. Because food is something that anybody can relate to, taste, water, all that. Now the second verse that we discussed today, text 43, brings about the significance of water, the greatness of water. It's a famous verse Krishna tells about water. Rasoham apsu kamteya. I am the taste of water. So Prabhupada explains, every time if we drink water, if we are able to remember Krishna, we can become Krishna conscious. Because he is very concerned even with people of a lower consciousness, Prabhupada explains, even a drunkard, if he thinks of Krishna, thinking that he is the taste of the intoxicant that he is taking, he will also become Krishna conscious. So that's how the process of bhakti does not discriminate whether you are a pandit or could be just a bum in the street taking some intoxicant, but still you can practice bhakti. Because just by appreciating the fact of taste that comes from the water. So the characteristics of water that have been brought up are that it mitigates starvation. So those characteristics of fire which create hunger and thirst are now being mitigated by taking sufficient water. So the entire life depends on water. So without food we can survive for a certain number of days, but without water the number of days that we can survive is much less than that without water. So that goes on to prove that life depends on water. So Prabhupada in this purport verse 43 brings about how in the beginning of creation, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, water is mentioned. Tejo Vali Vitam Vita Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Kudrusha. Tejo Vali. So that's the first verse of Bhagavatam 1.1.1. There, water is mentioned. And another place which brings out the significance of water that comes up in second canto, 10th chapter, the chapter title itself is pretty revolutionary. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. That's the chapter title. And in verse 31, so 2.10.31, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. So the translation of the verse goes like this. The seven elements of the body, namely the thin layer of the skin itself, the flesh, blood, fat, marrow and bone, are all made of earth, water and fire. Whereas the life breath is produced by the sky, water and air. So here the significance of water being a part of both gross and subtle creation is being brought out. Prabhupada brings it out nicely in this purport. He says how the construction of the whole material world is predominantly made by the three elements, namely earth, water and fire. So water is a common element in both the gross and subtle forms of all material creation. And it should be noted herewith that due to necessity of water being the most prominent in the material creation, that is the principal element of all the five. So the gross elements of skin, all that is air, and then even the light air that is more subtle, that is also one of the chief ingredients is water. And Prabhupada in that purport goes on to explain how to maintain a healthy, vital lifestyle, water, air, they are all required. The breathing of air of life is produced of sky, air and water. And therefore, open air, first point, regular bath, second point, and ample space in which to live, the third point. So open air, regular bath and ample space in which to live are favorable for healthy vitality. Fresh produce from earth like grains and vegetables as well as fresh water and heat is good for the upkeep of the gross body. So many times we may tend to give less importance or ignore the bodily constitution that we are in. Because we get too excited about the philosophy, oh, we are not the body, so then we ignore the body. But this vehicle is given to us by the Lord and it belongs to Him. So proper maintenance is required. And Prabhupada in this purport explains how to maintain oneself by having sufficient bath and living in a fresh air and living in an ample space. Now this applies for us personally, and when we are taking care of other devotees, we need to make sure that these facilities are available to them as well. So So as a leader, if you're taking care of somebody else, you need to make sure that his physically he is okay by making sure these facilities are provided to them. And that is how you show care and love to them, so that they are taken care at all the levels. The other points that are being brought out in the purport are how in the construction of this material world that we are, so we build big skyscrapers and we think, oh, I'm sitting on the 17th floor or 18th floor or 25th floor, but actually who is supporting you is the earth. And for constructing these buildings, what is being used? Prabhupada says bricks. So bricks are made with fire, air and water for mixing things together. So that is how water is the cementing ingredient of different material elements. Everybody wants to be a proud owner of a house so that I don't have to pay my rents. So building a house, things that are needed. In one sense, Krishna is giving all the ingredients. Okay, try your luck, create your own Goloka, create your own Vaikuntha, see your luck, try how it works out. So then, come back to me. So all the ingredients are given, so then we put them into big machines, produce this, and then build a house, and then we think, okay, after I build a house, I can live there happily forever. But as soon as we finish paying the mortgage, we are already probably in our 50s. And our son would say, okay, father, would you be willing to move out or things like that? I want to take possession of the house. So that happens. But the good side of seeing these material elements and how seeing Krishna's potency, that will actually mitigate the material miseries. Now, having seen the significance of water, we will go to the go and see how the qualities of Krishna, then the qualities of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the devotees, they also exhibit the qualities similar to that of water. Moistening substances, causing satisfaction, maintaining life, softening things, driving away heat, and refreshing by slaking thirst. As we discuss, Krishna is the taste of water. So it is one of the vibhutis or the greatness. At the same time, water quenches our thirst and it is sweet. In that sense, Krishna is sweetly powerful and is powerfully sweet. So we see the greatness of Krishna by looking at his creation. How great Krishna is by looking at the every element that is being created, we can see that. And if we consider a great body of water, Krishna says, of all the bodies of water, I am the ocean. And for the upkeep of our own nervous system, it is recommended that we take bath in a flowing river. Because they are considered as the nerves of the universal form of the Lord. So they will keep our nervous system in proper situation. Whenever we have the opportunity to take bath in a flowing river, it is good. In that way, even within the creation, when you see things, then when you start to appreciate, so then you see the greatness and the sweetness of Krishna. And this is doing for the souls who have turned their face away from him and come here. That's his sweetness. Despite disregarding somebody, he is still coming behind you and doing all these favors. And in every element, he is saying, okay, I am present. When you put the food inside, it gets digested. Krishna says, I am that digestive fire. And you drink water and that particular taste. Another aspect of Krishna is being grave. When you observe a big lake which is undisturbed, it is a symbol of gravity. In that sense, it is undisturbed. And when you enter inside a particular lake with proper equipment, then you can see there is a whole different world inside the lake or the ocean or a river. Similarly, Krishna is a great personality and he has got his own abode, Goloka, Vrindavan, which is the actual abode. This material world is just the reflection. By observing the greatness of ocean, river, lakes, we can see how Krishna is also a person and he is great, he is sweet and he has got his own abode. And that is how we understand some of the aspects of the sweetness and greatness of Krishna. Coming to Bhagavad Gita, how that also is compared to water and taking bath in Gita. That's mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. How by cleansing daily by bath, one can be purified outside. But if a person takes bath in the Ganges water of Gita, then the dirt of material life itself is vanquished. Malarimocha namkum sam jalasnamam dine dine sakrit gitam dutasnamam samsara nalanashnam. So Gita Amrita Snam, the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita. It's a very powerful metaphor from which we can understand that for external purity, water is there. Saucham. Saucham means you purify externally and internally. For internal purification, one of the aspects is taking shelter of Bhagavad Gita. That itself is compared to Ganges water. So those who can't go to Ganges daily can open up Gita and read few verses. And if you are at work, you can keep a copy of Gita at your workplace also, so that you can feel Krishna's presence while you are doing your duty. If you are running a business, you can keep Gita at your own desk, or if you are working, you can do that. If that's your private space. Just as Krishna guided Arjuna in the battlefield while he was doing his duty, similarly, we can also feel the presence of Krishna through Bhagavad Gita. The words emanating from the mouth of Krishna are also purifying like water. And same effect it produces like water. Takes away the dirt, gives you satisfaction. With Srimad Bhagavatam, it is spoken about Krishna. So, that also has the same effect. Bhagavatam's glories are brought out to the Bhagavatam also, and other scriptures also glorify Bhagavatam. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship and thus cleanses the dust of material association such as lust, anger and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. So Bhagavatam is an incarnation of the Lord and that is also compared to water which is cleansing. It is compared to autumnal rains which is pouring on a muddy water. So when autumnal rains come, so that cleanses up the muddy water. It's a very nice verse. Pravishta karana randrena svamam bhava sarvaduham dunoti kshamalam krishna pravi salidasya yatapshara. So the word karana, through the holes of the ears, Bhagavatam enters and it cleanses. It has the same effect of water cleansing the body, but Bhagavatam cleanses the inside of what? Of lust, anger and hankering. This way we understand how effectively Krishna, through his various medium, he is reminding us about the imperfect nature of this material world and how the process which is sweet is given to us and how effectively we take up to that process. So then to that extent we can see the benefit. We look at the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport. Tejo Bari Dutam. When the whole creation is happening, we see inconceivable information that is given to us. How can you even conceive of fire coming out of water, earth coming out of all these? If you see earth, water, fire, they all come from the previous things. And it is like a magician's hat. Okay, he shows something in the hat, he says, he opens it and says there's nothing. Okay, then he pulls out something or something comes out. Like that, the whole creation is not real, but Krishna has to do it. Why? To allure us so that we have the desires. I had a desire to taste something, I had a desire to touch something, I had a desire to hear something, all separately from Krishna. So he has to create a covering, and that is in itself is illusion. Prabhupada in the 1.1.1 purport, he explains the illusion of seeing water in fire, which is seeing a mirage in the desert. That example he gives and explains how this material world in itself is not real, and water seen on earth, earth seen on water. So those kind of examples, when we read the creation, we can actually understand. From sound comes ether, from ether comes touch. So every sense organ and the gross objects are getting created in addition to the qualities that are created before. The substance that's created later has got the quality of that's created before. It is just like a magician pulling out different things from his hat and alluring us. In that same verse, if you take a different meaning of that particular verse, it's explained that the very first verse of Bhagavatam also brings out lot of good qualities of Krishna and his pastimes. Lot of pastimes of Krishna happen near water. When we sing Yamuna Tira Vana Varshala. So it is explained that when Krishna starts to play his flute, Yamuna river, which is flowing, that stops flowing and that becomes like a solid. And the rocks which are solid, they start to melt and they become liquid. So by understanding Krishna's sweetness and his ability to enact pastimes with his consort and with his beloved devotees, our mind gets attracted and gets fixed on Krishna. So that is the way of controlling the different senses. So when the mind is fixed, then the senses become controlled. This effect of Krishna's pastime and his sweetness is relishable to us through his holy name also. The holy name is also giving the same effects of creating satisfaction, maintaining life, because our spiritual life depends on chanting the holy name of the Lord. That first it awakens our consciousness and we come to the point of, okay, I have taken a human birth, so now I am to be conscious of what I am doing, starting then it pacifies the mind. And when you start to fix your mind on Krishna, what does he say? He gives you the intelligence. Slowly we can see how the holy name addresses different layers of your own self. It awakens your consciousness, it pacifies the mind, it gives you intelligence, and by taking up the process you gain sufficient knowledge and detachment. By practicing bhakti, one gets automatically knowledge and detachment. And one of the key practices of bhakti is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Now for that to be effective, to produce the effect that we have seen, just like water, if it is dripping on a rock continuously, the rock also starts to lose its shape. Similarly, by chanting continuously, the heart, which is hard like a rock, that also starts to melt, it softens, and we get satisfaction. The heat of the material existence is taken away. That is why we sing the glories of the spiritual master. What does he do? He acts like a cloud which is pouring rain to mitigate the miseries of this material existence. So the aspects of maintaining life, softening things, driving away heat, they are all done by Krishna through holy name, through Bhagavad Gita, through Srimad Bhagavatam, and by his authorized spiritual masters who are coming in the disciplic succession. So by all these means, Krishna is trying to take us close to him. So by understanding his greatness and sweetness, the best course of action is to redirect our love and affection towards Krishna by giving those same elements that he has given to us to him. What does he ask for? He asks for tatram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prachati tadaham bhakti bhagatam ashnami priyatatma. With love and devotion, if you offer me the same things that I have given you, I will accept it and you will progress in your spiritual life. Instead of asking God to give us things, give me this, give me this, give me that thing, give me this thing, instead of that, if we use the things that God has given us in his service, so then we are making progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, we'll be thinking of God as a vending machine who, I go, I do this prayer, you give me this. I do another puja, you should give me this. Instead of that, instead of asking God for things, if we use the things that he has given us in his service, so then we get benefited by getting detached, getting purified, and progressing in spiritual life. So that is how we understand how the elements work together. The same way we can get entangled from all these elements by properly engaging them in Krishna's service. I'll conclude there. I'll ask if there are any comments, questions.
Thank you for the wonderful class. We know Krishna is perfect and everything emanating from Krishna is perfect. How do we perceive that the sense is like we have imperfect, though we are coming from the gross elements? And so, how do we?
Krishna is perfect and whatever is coming from Krishna, so it's perfect. So, then how do we understand that we have got imperfect senses? Creation in itself is the material energy. And material energy has got its own characteristics. Prabhupada gives us the example of how the government creates nice hospitals, roads, all for the welfare of the citizens. At the same time, the government anticipates that some of them will not follow the rules, and it also builds a jail. The jail means there will be some restrictions. So why is the jail like that? First is that we desire to deviate, and depending on the desire that you had, so that is how you have received this particular type of field of activity, which is your body, which is made up of all the senses. So in that case, it is just an act of love of God to give you the facility to go and try your own luck, to check out your independence. How does that work? Okay, so then in that case you are given a restricted facility. We may not know that it is restricted, we think we are free, but by knowledge we understand that every sense has got an imperfection. But having said that, if you employ those senses in the service of God, the imperfections are gone. Sevan Mukhehi Jivala Swayam Eva Swarajyada. So by starting from the tongue to vibrate the name of God and to taste prasadam, the senses become purified, and with that purified senses you can perceive God. It is not like a dead end where once you come to the material world, that's it for the rest of your life. You're born in hell. There's no way out. No, it's not like that. Krishna very much true. So despite all these imperfections, he gives you a lot of chances by which you can employ those imperfect senses also in his service and get perfect. So it's ultimately the responsibility of properly using the senses lies with us. So the fact that we have got the senses, that is also our responsibility, that is our past action. Now presently, where do you want to take it from here? That is also responsible. The process is given to us through scriptures. Through scriptural process. So you, once you do that, then you get perfect. Any other question?
So, to keep the body, as you said, we need we need the space, water, these things. But sometimes we see that the devotees, they do not have enough space there. And there's enough of water and a lot of constraint is there. So how do you advise, how in this situation, this juncture, what they should do?
To maintain life, we need proper space, air, water. But sometimes we see devotees are not getting those facilities.
Those facilities.
So one thing you can do is you can help us build a new ashram. Because you are very much concerned. We would like you to help us. By the week, sir.
That is all.
Once you finish your PhD, you can.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
But it is something to be kept in mind, and as far as possible and practical, we do it. And in some extreme circumstances, when we have to accommodate somebody else, so that case happens. But it should not be like the routine.
Because the village life is not possible nowadays. It's everyone is in the city.
Yeah, village life is not possible. This city, we just have apartments like beehives or.
Yeah, just one bedroom apartment, so expensive that it is.
So then that choice is that whether to live in a city or a village, that choice is still with us. That is not taken away. So we have to use that choice and use it properly. Okay, we conclude here. Grantarasimha Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jai Bhagavatam Ki Jai.